Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, John Moses, who is a leader in the grief support group at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. How are you, John?
I'm good today. I'm very good.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. I really want to know what a grief support group is, what they help people with. But before we get started with that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Professionally, I was an accountant at one time before my wife died 10 years ago. And after my wife died, I changed professions a little bit. And also, I got a lot more involved in volunteering with the church because, you know, I felt like that I could help in whatever way I could. Actually, I took off a year after my wife died, and I just basically did volunteer work around the church. And then I started back to working part-time, and I help out wherever I can. It was such a difficult time going through with my wife dying, and so I got involved in the grief support group in different ways. And just about a year ago, I got back involved, and they asked me to be the leader of the group. And so
I was going to ask you if that was the reason why you got involved with the grief support group.
Yes, because this is it's a peer ministry grief support group for widows and divorced people of all faiths.
Okay, well, let me ask you, what does it mean to be a peer ministry?
It means that everybody that is involved in the program, as far as helping, facilitating with the group or whatever, has either been a widow or they are divorced. And so they've been there. They've been through the grief. They've been through the hard times that it takes. And they come back to help others do the same thing.
Okay, so with peer ministry, it's a one-on-one. There's not necessarily a counselor there.
No, it is strictly volunteers. Mm-hmm. None of us are professionals. However, Jenny Allen, who's Deacon Bob Allen's wife, started this program about 10 to 12 years ago. She felt like they needed some kind of help for people that were hurting because of death of a spouse, either through divorce or widow. And she went and she found a program that, she's a professional counselor, but she found a program that could be basically managed by volunteers, that were not professionals, and help other people, get through the grief, because it's one of the hardest things that you'll ever have to do.
Well, thank you for sharing the history with me. I am interested in knowing what some of the things are that people go through that would cause them to be a part of a grief support group.
As I mentioned before, this grief support group is primarily for people that have experienced the death of a spouse. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's different kinds of deaths. I mean, death of a child or death of a parent, but the death of a spouse is probably the hardest thing that any of us will ever have to go through, because basically it you lose your spouse, you lose your history, you lose your past. It's just emptiness. And most people that go through this, they have a hard time because, they think they're going crazy. And the whole purpose of this, one of the main things about our group, is to allow one-on-one, not necessarily one-on-one, but communication with others who have been through exactly the same thing, so that they realize that they're not alone, that a lot of people say, I'm crazy, you know, there's something wrong with me. And there's really not, because anytime you lose a spouse, you know, that at one time that spouse was supposed to be with you for the rest of your life, and all of a sudden they're gone.
So then I can imagine there's a lot of emotions, anger, denial, frustration.
Exactly. I mean, the grief process, it goes through grief, anger, denial, bargaining with God. Okay, God, you know, depression. And eventually, as we get, hopefully, we can grow and move on with our lives. And realize that our life is not over. God is still with us. God is the healer. We're not. Our grief support group is, well, basically, we help Christ help others.
Oh, I think that's beautiful that you mentioned that God is the healer and you help Christ.
That's right. That's, you know, because we can't do it alone. Actually, I don't think I could have lived through this dark time without God in my life. And hopefully we're just trying to be his helpers. That's all.
Well, praise God for that. So let me ask you then, you did mention the different cycle, the grief cycle, grief, anger, denial, bargaining with God, depression, and growth. What are some of the things that that you would say you encountered as a result of being a part of this grief support group? Did you feel more stability? Did you maybe gain more friends? Did you have a better relationship with God? How did that work?
I gained more friends. I gained more understanding that God had not abandoned me. Once you've gone through the process and you've been helped, you want to come back and help others because, you know, you realize how difficult it is. And there's an awful lot of people out there that are hurting, really hurting. I mean, and very few of them ever actually come to our group. It's unfortunate because we think it's a program where you get in touch with what has happened. And it's basically a journaling process. We have books, a different book for widows and for divorcees, because there is totally different issues to deal with. And these books help you come in contact with your feelings, with your emotions, and share those feelings and emotions with others that have gone through it, to where you don't feel like, look, you know, I'm not crazy, you know. It's normal for us to go through this. And the only way you can get through it, basically, is to work through it and become accepted. I found out a long time ago I was involved with Marriage Encounter with my wife. And feelings are, most of us don't have our feelings accepted. Well, most of us don't share our feelings. And in this peer group ministry, basically we encourage people to share their feelings and show them that their feelings are accepted and they're not crazy. They're just normal people that have gone through a difficult time.
Well, you mentioned so many great things, and I'm trying to see what to follow up with. So First, you mentioned that you have a few people in this grief support group, so not everyone will reach out. And part of that is perhaps because they're in the depression stage, they're angry, so they're not going to seek out help.
Right, exactly. Plus, a lot of them don't know it's available.
Oh, I see.
That's okay. What's unfortunate. In fact, right now, the diocese it's here in Corpus. Right now, the diocese's Family Life Office is trying to spread this ministry out to the outlying communities, because there's so many people in the outlying communities that don't have access to this, or it's a long way to drive. Plus, a lot of people they bottle it up.
And they feel alone. They just repress.
Alone. Right. They're depressed. They're alone. Mm-hmm. They think that, you know, they don't want to be, especially men, I guess, men say, I can handle it.
They don't want to be a burden on anyone else.
They don't
want
to be a burden on anybody else. And basically, men don't want to cry. And we do cry in these sessions. We cry because it hurts. And
it's okay to cry.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. In fact, God gave us tears to help heal us. And that's an awesome thing is that God gave us. If we couldn't cry, I think I would still be, in the bottom.
So let me ask you, you did mention that it's peer ministry. Does this mean that you present yourself, you show up to a meeting, you present yourself, you present why you're there, or can you be an observer? There might be some people in our audience that want to know, well, how much do I have to share? Can I just sit back and be quiet and journal?
They are encouraged to journal. They don't have to share. We come together and then separate into smaller groups and so people can share. There's a facilitator for each group who's been a widow or been divorced, and they help basically help the group share.
John, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the death of a spouse and how that can cause grief. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. The 23rd Annual Celebration for Life event is just around the corner on September 13th at the Ortiz Center. It'll be an evening of fine dining, music, prayer, and Christian fellowship. This year's speaker is Deacon Keith Fournier, Editor-in-Chief at Catholic Online, and as a co-counsel, has appeared before the Supreme Court on pro-life, religious freedom, and pro-family issues. This fundraising banquet benefits Birthright of Corpus Christi, the Gabriel Project, and Corpus Christi Hope House, all of which promote the sanctity and dignity of human life. For sponsorship information, table or individual tickets to the Celebration for Life banquet, please call
852-2273. Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, John Moses, who is a part of the grief support group at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Before the break, we were talking about the grief ministry that you lead there, and you mentioned that it's for people who have had who are widowed or divorced. And I really want to talk briefly about the death of a spouse, because I know as the host, I wouldn't have expected you to say that people that have divorced really feel a sense of loss. Some people divorce because they want to divorce. Others divorce because they choose. It's actually not up to them. It's the other spouse that decided that this was needed. So how is it that someone that's divorced goes through grief?
It's a total difference. It's totally different simply because that ex-spouse is still alive.
Okay.
However, when that person that's now divorced got married, at the time they got married, they honestly, truly believed that they were getting married for a lifetime. And that person was their life. They devoted their life to them. Now, something happens down the road, maybe, but initially, they were in love. And love, solves everything. Until something happens. But a person that's divorced, the grief is even worse, I think, because one of the programs, the grief support programs that I went to after my wife died was a beginning experience program. And in that beginning experience, the divorced and widowed shared equally with each other. In our program, we separate widowed and divorced because there's different problems. But I did realize when I listened to some of the divorced people how hurt, angry, totally destroyed in some cases, especially if the spouse chose to leave. They didn't want the spouse to leave, but they chose to leave. It's a destroying It destroys your life, your self, your belief in yourself, your belief in your ability to love and be loved. And so, to a large extent, I think a divorced person goes through a whole lot more grief. My wife died, and that was hard. But she didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice. And there's closure. With divorced people, if the other spouse is still around somewhere, if there's kids and they have to interact with the spouse, or even if there's not kids and they see that spouse, you don't get closure. And our program hopefully allows them to get a degree of closure and accept, you know. Denial is the hardest thing to get by. And acceptance, and it's hard to accept sometimes because you failed. In a divorced relationship, you know, you failed in most cases. I don't care whether it was your decision or the other person's decision, you failed. And failure is a hard thing to deal with. And so, as far as, you know, my wife died, it took me quite a while. But I was one of the lucky ones in that I was married for 25 years. I was loved, and I loved. And I thanked God after my wife died. I said, well, thank you, Lord, for giving me 25 years. Because a lot of people don't find that. And so we have to find something good in what we lost. In some cases, even when you're divorced, it's good to try to find something good out of that relationship that you can hold on to. Because, you know, otherwise, I've met some people that are in a deep, one lady that I talked to, she hasn't been to our group, but she's totally depressed. I mean, you know, she's in bad shape and she stays there, you know. She doesn't go out. She's basically became a loner. And that's the worst thing you can possibly do, to cut yourself off from other people simply because you think you're a failure. And, you know, you don't want to interact with other people because you may get hurt again.
So you're afraid?
Yes. Yes.
You know, speaking of people who are divorced, and you mentioned you had 25 years and not normally people don't get up to 25. Right. I must say our divorce rate is around the 50% range. And it not only affects the spouses that are involved, but the children that are involved. And that's why I enjoy working with the Family Life Director at the Diocese of Corpus Christi, because we do notice these statistics, but then we find ways of being able to uplift people again to where they ought to be. As a matter of fact, my husband and I just had 8 years of marriage, our anniversary, this past weekend. But I will say that I made an observation at Mass when we were getting a blessing. There was others that had 40, 50, 39 years, but there was no one else other than my husband and I that had 8, anything less than 10 or 20. So we're not seeing those young couples that have these anniversaries like we do very often. Or maybe they went to another Mass. I don't know. But it is a blessing. And my husband talks about how blessed he feels just to be married even 8 short years. But we're comfortable where we are. And that's another thing. Those that do get divorced are out of their comfort zone. They have to restart. They have to figure out what their purpose is in life. I know the question might arise. I even heard it recently. Am I too old for someone to love me again? So are those some of the questions that people ask themselves?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And as I said before, we're trying to, God is the healer. But if God left us here, one of the things that I kept asking myself, and I'm not sure I've answered that question yet, is, okay, God, why am I still here? What do you have for me? But I have my kids. My kids are a blessing, and I help my kids as much as I can. I've gotten involved in this ministry, and if there's any way that I can help other people get... That's one of the things that I would like to mention. If anybody is even remotely thinking about this group, number one, is for people of all faiths. This is not a Catholic program. This is a program for anyone that has been widowed or divorced, and just like to come and see what it's about. Come for one or two sessions. We meet every week on Monday nights, and you don't have to commit to staying for the whole 10 weeks. It'll last for 10 weeks, but you don't have to stay for the whole 10 weeks. But come and talk to us and talk to some other people. That's the best thing about the whole thing, is being able to be friends and talk to others that have gone through what you've gone through. Because most of the time, we think that's not possible, But just come, let us talk to us. We're there to help if we can. If it's not for you, that's fine, And there are some people that come and went for one or two or three sessions, and they say, this is not for me, and that's all right. Not everybody shares. The journaling process is primarily for each individual, their own self. But you can come and share with others or not, but come and we'll try to help, whatever we can do to help. Like I said, there's men and women. I mean, it's not just for women, it's not just for men. We have all different people from all different walks of life. It doesn't matter,
So age is not a factor.
Age is not a factor. We have some people that are 50, 60, 70 years old. Some people have been married for 55 years and lost their spouse. And it's just as hard, not harder for them to deal with it. Some people, they've been married 10, 15 years and their spouse dies. But the death of a spouse is the same.
Regardless.
Mm-hmm. And divorce people is the same. Now every divorce situation is different. But it still involves the death of a relationship.
One last thing that I think my audience or our audience would want to know, is this anonymous? Are they able to go and share, and that information stays there in the group?
Oh, definitely. That's one of the main things. This is confidentiality. We stress confidentiality. It will never leave that room. It will never leave the small group that you're talking in.
John, thank you, and I thank God for you, and may He continue to bless your ministry. Stay with us with Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is an old saying that says all ships are safe in a harbor. In a similar vein, we have been taught to look out for number one, to do unto others before they do unto us. While there is some truth to this, it has unfortunately become lost in the telling and retelling. Ships are safest when they are in the harbor, and we do have to look out for ourselves, because we have to protect ourselves against those persons and events that threaten to harm us. However, ships are built to sail upon the seas, and we were not created to take care of only ourselves. What's good for us should be good for all, right? Wrong. For something to be authentically good, we must consider the intent to do good as well as the outcome for good. While a ship is built to sail the seas, we are created to form relationships and build community, to be in communion with one another. This often poses great difficulties, especially when our brother or sister does not want to have anything to do with us. Quite often this has to do with some small matter that neither party is willing to concede. Because of the distortion of what is good by the effects of sin, and the devil's own desire to cause disharmony and the lack of unity, we come to believe that others are out to get us, to cause us pain. This distrust can usually be traced back to anger over some past event that was never forgiven or reconciled. In the words of prayer that Jesus taught us, we are invited to move past these misdirected fears and anger by forgiving one another, even as we ourselves have been forgiven. When we don't trust one another whom we can see, how much more difficult does it become for us to trust God, whom we cannot see? Our father or mother dies, our spouse leaves us, or we suffer a debilitating illness, and in our woundedness we withdraw in confusion and pain, no longer able to trust that even God, whom we cannot see, can heal our wounds. At these moments, we are called to live the mystery of faith. When God takes something from your grasp, He's not punishing you, but merely opening your hands to receive something better. He wants us to accept the greatest gift He can give us, namely Himself. If we don't turn away from our own thoughts of the meaning of life and death to fully embrace His revealed truth, He knows that we will suffer not only here on earth, but in eternity forever. He invites us instead to become fully human, to embrace all that we have been created for, to receive the gift not only of His love, but the love of others. More than this, He invites us to enter into His selfless love and make a gift of our own love to Him and others. You may recall Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Christ did not simply die on the cross. He gave His spirit back to the Father. God requires both living and dying from us, renunciation and acceptance. He shows us the unity of life and death on the cross. The psalmist reminds us of what is important. "You will redeem me, Lord." May your sacred moments lead you always to become all that you were created to be, and may God's blessings keep you from selfish ways. Amen.
Thank you again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, John Moses, leader of the Grief Support Group at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. If you would like more information, please call him at 361-813-5825. And remember, they meet on Mondays at 7 p.m. at the Parish Hall at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Thank you again for joining us.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.